We turn in God's Word this morning to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll begin our reading at verse 20. First Corinthians 11, verse 20, where Paul begins by rebuking the Corinthians for a problem they had in partaking of the Lord's Supper, and then giving positive instruction in the Lord's Supper. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. This is God's Word, holy and inspired. May He bless it to our hearts this morning. On the basis of that passage and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 28. Lord's Day 28. Question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises, first, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread." Beloved congregation, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Heidelberg Catechism now turns its attention to the Lord's Supper. The Catechism is currently explaining the reality of the sacraments, and having given an introductory explanation to the sacraments, and having completed its explanation of baptism, the Catechism now turns to a treatment of the Lord's Supper. And that means that the Catechism turns to a topic that is spiritually exciting for the Church of Jesus Christ. There is something very exciting, very precious, very moving about the Lord's Supper. The meaning of the Lord's Supper is not found in that emotion. The partaking of the Lord's Supper is not rooted in those feelings. But the topic of the Lord's Supper is a very exciting thing for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the meaning of that supper. At the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, we partake of Jesus Christ Himself. We eat Jesus Christ and we drink Jesus Christ. That's the way the Catechism begins its explanation of the Lord's Supper in question 75. "How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits?" We partake of Christ's sacrifice. We partake of all of Christ's benefits because we partake of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The spiritual excitement of that meal is captured in the Belgic Confession's explanation of the Lord's Supper in Article 35, entitled "The Holy Supper of Our Lord Jesus Christ." About halfway through that Article 35, the Belgic Confession describes the Lord's Supper this way: "This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us, and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood." That's what the Lord's Supper is. It is a feast, a spiritual feast, made up of Jesus Christ himself. It is a table, a spiritual table, to which we come to partake of the Savior and of all his saving blessings. That makes the Lord's Supper a spiritually exciting reality, a spiritually comforting truth for the Church of Jesus Christ. And that makes the instruction regarding the Lord's Supper also of great value for the Church of Jesus Christ. Let us turn our attention to that sacrament this morning, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, considering it under the theme "Partaking of Christ." In the first place, consider the sign. In the second place, consider the union. And in the third place, consider the power. Partaking of Christ, the sign, the union, and the power. The Lord's Supper as a sacrament is based on a spiritual reality that we have in us a twofold life. There is, in the first place, a corporal and temporal life, that is, a physical life, that is, an earthly life. The child of God lives on this earth, made of the dust of this earth. The child of God requires physical sustenance in order to continue living, and all of the things that make physical life possible here on the earth. And this corporal life, or this bodily life, this physical life, is life that is common to all men. Elect or reprobate, makes no difference. All men have this earthly, corporal, physical life. This physical life is made up of body and soul. When we think of our earthly life, sometimes we think mainly of our bodies, which are physical and which we can feel and have material substance, but our souls are also part of our earthly life. Every man has an earthly soul. Every man has a soul that belongs to this body, and though at death that soul lives on, that soul is part of our earthly life. And that earthly life of all men is filled with great variety. Men in their earthly life go to work and have a great variety of jobs. Men in their earthly life enjoy the beauty of this creation and enjoy the artistic creations of other men. This earthly life is full and big and rich as far as the earthly life goes. But there is also a spiritual life, a life that is not corporal or bodily, a life that is not physical, a life that is heavenly and spiritual. And that life is not common to all men. Only the elect have that spiritual life. It is these two lives that the Belgic Confession emphasizes in Article 35. The second paragraph of that article reads, "Now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal, which they have from the first birth and is common to all men, the other spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is effected by the word of the gospel in the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect." This heavenly spiritual life is very rich and very manifold. This heavenly spiritual life is living in the kingdom of heaven, surrounded by all of the realities of the kingdom of heaven. This spiritual life is life before the face of God, beholding Him by faith. It is the life of seeing Jesus Christ seated upon His throne. It is the life that is aware of and conscious of all of the hosts of God who serve Him, all of His holy angels who serve Him night and day, crying before His throne, "Holy, holy, holy." It is the life of love for God and love for God's people, love for God's church. This life also God's people have by virtue of our salvation and regeneration and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who has given to us the life of Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord's Supper as a sacrament is based on that reality that we have that heavenly spiritual life, because these two different lives require two different kinds of sustenance. That physical, corporal, bodily life requires earthly sustenance, food and drink, the food and drink of this earth. Without that food and drink, the body dies. With that food and drink, the body lives and is healthy. The Belgic Confession refers to that when it says in Article 35 again, in like manner, God hath given us for the support of the bodily and earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto and is common to all men, even as life itself. But this heavenly spiritual life also requires nourishment and sustenance. This heavenly spiritual life is made strong and healthy by this spiritual sustenance. And the spiritual sustenance of our spiritual heavenly life is the bread from heaven, who is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the nourishment of this spiritual life. He it is who gives us strength. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us that spiritual substance through His broken body and shed blood. The Belgic Confession teaches that again, but for the support of the spiritual and heavenly life which believers have, He hath sent a living bread which descended from heaven, namely Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers when they eat Him, that is to say, when they apply and receive Him by faith in the Spirit. The Heidelberg Catechism also teaches that. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all His benefits, that His body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and His blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that He feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with His crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. The body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spiritual nourishment that gives to our spiritual heavenly life from above spiritual strength. Now, how does that work, that the body and blood of Christ nourishes us? Well, in the first place, that body and blood was given for us. And in the second place, that body and blood is given to us. First of all, that body and blood was given for us. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself all of our sins and the curse due to us for them, and brought those sins with Him to the cross, where He suffered the eternal wrath of God against our sins, bore that curse against those sins, and paid for those sins by His own sacrifice. By the shedding of His blood and the breaking of His body, He took our place under the curse of God and under the wrath of God in such a way that that curse is exhausted, that there is no more of that curse for us. There He earned the legal right for us to have eternal life. There He made the payment that was required, the payment of death that was required by the guilt, because of the guilt of our sins. By His body and blood offered for us, the Lord has given us the right to this spiritual, heavenly, eternal life. That's how His body and blood nourish us unto everlasting life. They cover all our sins in the sight of God. But then in the second place, His body and His blood are given to us for our sustenance. That is, the good news, the gospel of that broken body and blood and that sacrifice is proclaimed to us for the comfort of our souls and for the assurance that we are forgiven indeed. And that gospel truth of Jesus Christ's body and blood does indeed nourish us unto comfort and strength and hope. We see that in our own lives and in our own hearts. The child of God, considering his own sins in the light of the law of God, is exposed. Those sins are shown to be filthy and corrupt. The child of God recognizes what he deserves for those sins: eternal punishment in hell. The child of God deserves that God would cast him away and not draw him close. The child of God hears the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all of those sins are covered, that God has not cast me away, but drawn me to Him in the cords of love, and has cursed my Savior in my place. The child of God is filled with joy, with thanksgiving, with hope, with life, by that gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. What is more, the child of God, hearing the goodness of God to him in Jesus Christ, has a firm desire to walk according to all of the commandments of God and live before Him in all good works to show thanksgiving to Him for His salvation. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and risen, which is the message of that body broken for us and the message of that blood shed for us, nourishes the child of God. That's the bread he needs for his soul and the drink he needs for his soul. We're nourished unto everlasting life by this spiritual bread, this spiritual wine, who is Jesus Christ Himself. And now God has given us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in order to assure us of that reality, to assure us of our new life in Christ, to assure us that all our sins are forgiven, to assure us that we are nourished unto everlasting life by His body and blood. The Lord's Supper is given as a sacrament to assure us. It builds our faith. It makes us confident. It makes us assured of the things that the gospel declares. That's the emphasis of question and answer 75 of the Catechism here. This assurance and this certainty that God works through the sacrament. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all His benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of Him, adding these promises. Promises are given for assurance. The promise of Jesus Christ, which is a word that cannot be broken, is given for our assurance. My blood is shed for you, and my body is broken for you. That's the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in the institution of the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26. And as that institution is recorded again by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, which we read. Paul says in verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. And by that, Paul means the Lord Jesus Christ told me directly how this all works and what this Lord's Supper means. He told me, and now I tell you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's the promise of Jesus Christ that's added to this sacrament. This is my body which is broken for you. I'm going to the cross to suffer for you and to die for you so that all of your sins are forgiven. And so also with the cup. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. That is the new covenant in my blood, established in my blood, sure in my blood, secure in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus Christ promises His church, promises His elect people through the Lord's Supper. I died for you and covered all your sins and have given you new heavenly life before my Father. The sacrament is designed for our weakness so that hearing these promises, we may have something to touch, to see, and to taste as we hear these promises. An answer, question and answer 75 emphasizes that all of this assurance and promise is given us in tactile form, in sacramental form, so that we can see and touch it. He added these promises first, that His body was offered and broken on the cross for me and His blood shed for me. As certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that He feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with His crucified body and shed blood. As assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. That teaches us how the sacrament works and how the sacrament is meant to work. The sacrament is meant to work in touching and seeing and tasting. That's the way we ought to think about these truths as we partake of the Lord's Supper. As the bread is distributed, we hold in our hands that bread. We can touch that bread. We can feel that bread. We feel its texture with our fingers. We feel and can press it and leave an indent of our finger in that bread. We're very really holding that bread. Well, just as really as we hold that physical piece of bread, so there is spiritual bread, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for us to cover all our sins. Those two things are just as real. The bread is not more real than the body of Christ. The bread is something we see. The bread is something we can experience through our physical senses. But the body of Jesus Christ is just as real as that bread. And the breaking of Christ's body is just as real as the breaking of that bread as that bread is distributed. That doesn't mean that that bread is the physical body of Christ. More on that in the next Lord's Day. But the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is very real, and its breaking is very real, and the pouring out of His blood is very real. As you hold that bread and put it in your mouth and hold that wine and drink it, then think, just as real as these things that I've tasted and seen and handled is the body and blood of the Lord broken for me and communicated to me. That means that the Lord's Supper is not meant to work this way, that we have to try to stir up our souls, stir up our spirit until a tear trickles down from our eye, or until we laugh with some spiritual joy. There may be those things. There may be an emotional reaction that touches very deeply our feelings as we partake of the Lord's Supper. But that's not what the Lord's Supper is aiming at. It's not aiming at the stirring of our emotion. It's aiming at the building of our faith and the confidence that we have that just as real as that bread and wine is, so real is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of that sacrament. That's the way that sacrament is meant to work. And God gives us that for our weakness, as we've been seeing with baptism. As well, He gives to us this sacrament so that we who are of the earth earthy, we who take in everything through our physical senses, have something for our physical senses to hold and to see and to taste, to teach us of those spiritual realities of our new heavenly life, supported by the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a life that is! What a partaking of Christ that is in the Lord's Supper. We don't get very much by way of bread in the Lord's Supper. A little square. We don't get very much by way of wine. A little thimbleful of wine. That's good that the sacrament is simple. That the sacrament doesn't become bloated and causes our eyes to fix on the sacrament and the earthly things. It's good that there is a simple ceremony and simple sacrament. But remember, the spiritual reality is full and rich. What we are eating when we partake of the Lord's Supper is Jesus Christ, who is a full, rich meal. He is a feast. The Lord Jesus Christ is nourishing. He makes us spiritually healthy and strong and happy in Him. That's the way the Belgic Confession describes this Lord's Supper. This meal is a feast and a spiritual table at which Jesus Christ communicates Himself and all of His blessings to us. That's the way to think of the Lord's Supper. I hold in my hands here this little piece of bread so that my attention is not fixed on the bread as if the bread is something in itself. But as I hold in my hands this little piece of bread, I have for my soul heaven itself, all of the blessings that Christ has earned. I have for my spirit my Savior who has given Himself for me, and I'm satisfied in Him. I'm made full in Him and happy in Him. That's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That's the sign that the Lord has given us. Now we say all of that and understand all of that and yet find that there are greater depths here to plumb. That in partaking of Christ, we are really speaking of a union with our Savior. That's what answer 76 goes on to explain. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that to become more and more united to His sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us. So that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Union with Christ is taught in this sacrament. Eating and drinking Christ means to become more and more united to His sacred body by the Holy Ghost. And here we are dealing with that spiritual truth that we sometimes call the mystical union. This spiritual union, this real connection between Jesus Christ in heaven and His church on earth. So that even though there's all kinds of space between us, nevertheless we are very really united to Him. We are members of His body. Flesh of His flesh and bone of His bones. He is the head, and we are the members of the body. He is the vine, and we are the branches engrafted into Him. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride united to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ and His church are one with a real spiritual union. And that's taught through the Lord's Supper, that union. For we take the Lord Jesus Christ and partake of Him. Again, not physically. He's not physically present in that bread, but spiritually He's very much present. So that very much we eat and drink the Lord Jesus Christ, really and spiritually. And there again, the sacrament helps our weakness by drawing that connection between what the physical is like and then what the spiritual is like. We take that piece of bread and we eat it, and it becomes a part of us. The nutrients in that bread will be separated out and used for the building of our physical bodies. The goodness of that wine will be imparted to us. The bread and wine become a part of us through eating and drinking. Well, so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a part of us. We're a part of Him. We're one flesh with Him, and one plant with Him. To eat and drink the Lord's Supper is to become more and more united to His sacred body by the Holy Ghost. There's more we can say about it yet. This union with Christ is because He communicates Himself to us. That's the way the Belgic Confession puts it. This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates Himself to us. The Lord Jesus Christ comes Himself and gives Himself to us so that He is part of us. His life is in us. And we are part of Him, belonging to Him. What the Belgic Confession is describing here is that covenant unity of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. He communicates Himself by giving Himself to us, refreshing us by Himself, dwelling with us, speaking to us, comforting our poor, comfortless souls. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in His love and mercy and salvation of His church. The Belgic Confession says He communicates Himself with all His benefits to us, and gives us there to enjoy both Himself and the merits of His sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of His flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of His blood. When He comes to us, He brings salvation with Him, the covering of all our sins, new life, and the assurance of fellowship with Him. That makes the Lord's Supper quite a meal, and the reality of salvation quite a blessing for the church. The way we ought to think of it is this, that we come to the Lord's Supper as those who are starving, as those who have no means in ourselves to support that life, that spiritual life. There's nowhere we can go to find that nourishment. There's nothing we can do to produce that nourishment. We need that nourishment from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as those who are famished for food and drink, coming to the table of the Lord, which is a feast, He feeds and nourishes our souls and comforts our poor, comfortless souls, so that whereas the world and our flesh and every message from here below is that we are damnable sinners, we see in this Supper of the Lord the message, but Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior and has given to us all of His blessings and Himself so that we have everlasting life in Him. That's the way we come, and that's what we've been singing about too in the Psalms that speak of our thirsting for God and of our being satisfied in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, with all His blessings, is our nourishment and satisfies our hungry and thirsty souls. Now, after all of this, we say, but there's something still mysterious about this. Oh yes, there is. Very much there is something mysterious about this. This union with the Lord Jesus Christ, this nourishment by His body and blood. The Belgic Confession says that all of the works of the Holy Spirit are mysterious, and therefore it ought not surprise us that this too is mysterious. That doesn't mean unreal. That doesn't mean we cannot understand it. It doesn't mean we cannot experience it and know it. But it does mean that the operation of Jehovah God does go deeper and further than our human understanding can grasp. The reason that there is a mystery here is that all of this is effected and worked by the Holy Spirit. That's the power of partaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of Christ Himself is the power of our partaking. The Holy Spirit is the power of our partaking in the first place by creating and strengthening faith in us. The Catechism refers to that when it says in question 76, to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ is to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us creates faith in our hearts, by that faith uniting us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His gospel through that faith, and the confidence and assurance of that salvation through that faith. The Holy Spirit creates faith, and thereby the Holy Spirit is the power of our partaking. In the second place, the Spirit is the power of our partaking of Christ because He dwells in Christ and in us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit who belongs to Christ and who knows the mind of Christ and who has all things that are Christ's. And that Spirit dwelling in Him dwells also in us, so that all things which Christ has are ours and are given us through that Spirit. That's the bond, that's the union, that's the connection between Christ and us. It's that Holy Spirit of God who dwells in both Him and us, as the Catechism says, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of His flesh and bone of His bones. The Holy Spirit dwells in Christ and us, and by that is the power of our partaking of all of the benefits and blessings of Christ and Christ Himself. The fact that the Spirit is the power by which we partake of Christ means that we partake of Christ indeed. What the Catechism is describing here is not merely the way we hope it goes, but have no real confidence that it will go. What the Catechism is describing here is not some ideal that is never really reached. The Catechism is describing the reality of partaking of Christ. We truly partake of Him in the Lord's Supper, so that whether we have some emotional experience or not in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, what has happened there is exactly what Christ has promised in His Word would happen. You remember me and my death. Your faith is strengthened in me because your attention has been turned away from you and has been turned away even from the elements themselves, and has been turned to me. And I am the anchor of your faith. I am the object of your faith. And seeing me by faith, you have comfort for your poor, comfortless souls. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ comes with confidence to the Lord's Supper then, with the confidence that the power that works this assurance, the power that comforts my soul is the power of the Spirit of Christ Himself, divine power to assure me that my Savior's death covers all my sins. What a thrill! What a spiritually exciting thing to be able to come to the supper of the Lord, depend on Jesus Christ and His body and blood to cover my sins, depend on His Spirit to work these things and give me that assurance. What a spiritual blessing to see that this is all the will and the work of our covenant God, who sent Jesus Christ to the cross in His love for us. This is what it means, then, to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ as we hear His gospel and partake of His supper. Let our faith be rooted in Him. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. Encourage us by it, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that He communicates Himself and all His blessings to us, His crucified body and His shed blood through His Spirit and by His word, as symbolized in the sacrament. Hear our prayer. Comfort us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 90. Number 90. Where we sing of tasting and seeing that God is good, stanza 4. That God is good, O taste and see. Who trusts in Him shall blessed be. Let's sing the 5 stanzas, the first 5 of number 90. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.